ॐ नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाद्विग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमेढ्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहं प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् यस्मिन्द्रियाणि मनसा नियम्यारभतेऽर्जुन कर्मेन्द्रियैः कर्मयोगम् असक्तस्त विशिष्यते नियतं कुरु कर्मत्वं कर्मज्यायोह्यकर्मणः शरीरयात्रापि च ते न प्रसिद्धेत कर्मणः यज्ञार्थात् कर्मणो यत्र लोकोऽयं कर्मबन्धनः तदर्थं कर्म कौन्तेय मुक्तसङ्गः समाचर. भगवान् इस् टाकिङ्ग् अबौट् दि इम्पार्टेन्स् आफ् कर्मयोग, द नेचर् आफ् कर्मयोग. वाट् इस् कर्मयोग? विसा इट् इस् ए काम्बिनेशन् आफ् प्रापर् आक्षन् अलाङ्ग् वित् proper attitude. What is proper action? An action by which others get lot of benefits. Unselfish actions which are described in the Vedas as pancha mahayajna. Sattvika karmani are proper actions. Proper attitude is, while performing that action as a karta, a person should perform that action as Ishvara puja, as a worship to the Lord, and while receiving that action, phalam of that action, he should receive that phalam as Ishvara Prasadaha. So both put together is called proper attitude. In the last class we saw, this Karma Yoga can be practiced by having four types of attitudes. One is as Ishvara Ajna, Karma Yoga Panchamaha Yajnani should be practiced by everyone. There is no choice. It is a compulsory one if at all a person is interested in a happy and harmonious life. In the absence of this Panchamaha Yajna, he may have lot of wealth and comforts, but in his life happiness will be a missing one. Therefore Bhagavan told, with what attitude you are going to practice this Panchamaha Yajna, it depends upon your temperament, but you should practice. What are the attitudes? One attitude we saw in the last class as Ishvara Ajna. It is a commandment of the Lord. Therefore, I have no choice in performing it. I will perform since it is a commandment. In the next shloka, that is shloka 9, he told, this commandment is having a fear psychology. Even though the attitude of commandment is useful with regard to immature people, it has a disadvantage, namely fear psychology. Fear is never considered as a healthy attitude. For whatever purpose we use fear as a tool, it is not a healthy attitude. Somebody says fear is a dark room wherein all negatives are developed. In a photographic house, all negatives are developed where? In a dark room. Similarly, here is a dark room in which all the negatives of life are developed. Fear psychology is not a healthy psychology, healthy method of disciplining. Fear of hell, fear of naraka, fear of judgment day, etc. These are all okay for the immature people, and this psychology should be used very sparingly. After using all other attitudes, if the person is still immature, if he is not ready to follow the dharma, then the question of creating fear can come. And that also, it should be a temporary one. only for a period of time. It should be used as a tool as long as he has not get that maturity. Sooner or later, a person should be educated to follow the values, not out of fear of God, but out of maturity, out of gratitude, out of reverence and love. That is the reason all modern psychologists also say that never try to discipline your children by fear. When it cries, you allow it to cry. If you don't allow it to cry, if you shout again, it will stop crying, but that fear has created a suppression in his mind, and finally the child ends as a cruel father, cruel husband, cruel employer like that. Therefore here Bhagavan wants to give a higher attitude, the attitude of yajnaha, the attitude of Ishvara Puja. In this attitude, I convey all my actions as Ishvara Puja. Why should I do puja is the question. Why should I worship the Lord? Shastra says, any sensible person, any intelligent person will be aware of the gifts from the Lord. Everything is given to us, given by the giver. We have not created this creation. When we landed in this land, in this bhumi, our parents are there already, and mother's milk is there already, and vayu, that is air is there, water is there. All the things which I use in my life is the gift of the Lord. Our own body-mind complex also is gift of the Lord. One Swamiji used to tell, what is given to you is a Lord gift, and what you do with that gift is your gift to him. This body-mind complex is a gift of the Lord to me, and what I am going to do with this body-mind complex, that action happened to be a gift to the Lord. So if we use this body-mind only for the sensory pleasures and only to find out where are the violations by which I can violate the norms of the creation, then Lord will be unhappy as it were. If this body-mind are used for paropakaram, then the entire life becomes a puja. In creation, if you observe, everything is designed for the sake of paropakara. Paropakaraya palanti vriksha, paropakaraya duhanti gavaha, paropakaraya vahanti nadyaha, paropakarartham idam shariram. For the sake of others only this tree grows and gives lot of fruits, and for the sake of others cow gives milk, for the sake of others rivers flow, and for the sake of the universe only entire creation is there. Therefore, this body-mind also should be used for the sake of others. If we are matured enough to observe this beautiful creation, if we are sensitive person to recognize the unseen hand behind this harmonious creation, then naturally there will be an idea of gratitude, gratitude towards the giver, towards the Lord. Therefore, Vedic way of life is intense awareness of the environment, with deep gratitude towards the giver, towards the Lord. As soon as a person gets up, in our Vedic culture, as soon as a person gets up, immediately he has to chant one shloka. Samudravadane Devi Parvatastana Mandale Vishnupatnyai Namastubhyam Padasparsham Kshamaswame. O Mother Earth, I ask your pardon. You please forgive me. I am going to stamp upon you. I am going to touch you with my feet. So what an idea, you see. What a reverence towards that Mother Earth. Then when he takes bath, Gange Yamune Chaiva Godavari Saraswati Narmade Sindhu Kaveri Jaleesmin Sannidhim Kuru. I remember all the time, every action from the early morning onwards. I remember the Mother Earth. Then I remember the rivers, all the holy rivers. I say, oh holy rivers, I cannot come to you and take bath in you. Therefore, you please come here. Jaleesmin Sannidhim, in this bucket water, you please come and give your presence. Then when he sits for puja, he immediately prays for the Akasha Devata. Pratichyai Namaha ప్రాచ్యై దిశే నమః, ఉదీచ్యై దిశే నమః, లైక్ దట్ హీ వర్షిప్ ది దిశాస్ ఆల్సో. దెన్ వెన్ హీ హ్యాస్ టు పెర్ఫార్మ్ దట్ సంధ్యావందన ఆర్ గాయత్రి, హీ హ్యాస్ టు పెర్ఫార్మ్ దట్ ప్రాణాయామ, దట్ టైమ్ ఆల్సో నమో బ్రహ్మణే నమస్తే వాయు, త్వమేవ ప్రత్యక్షం బ్రహ్మాసి, త్వమేవ ప్రత్యక్షం బ్రహ్మ వదిష్యామి. No natural force is different from the Lord. This recognition is there. When he offered the puja also in the Agni, Agni Mile Purohitam Yajnasya Deva Mrityujam, so all the natural forces are remembered and recognized. Therefore, Bhagavan is recognized as the tangible force, as this tangible creation. He is available in the form of this creation, and also he is available in the form of universal laws. You put inside your mouth, according to the gravity law, it goes down. You imagine if it comes up, 5 minutes it comes up, 5 minutes it goes down. What will happen? Person will die. So all the universal laws are not created by us. It is created by the Lord. Not only he has created, he is available in the very creation itself. He is nimitta karana, he is an intelligent cause. At the same time he is upadana karana also, he is a material cause also. So sensitive person recognizes his presence in the form of natural laws and in the form of the universe. We have not created this universe. We cannot maintain this universe also. It is very huge. Bhagavan says, if you don't disturb this universal law, that much enough. The contribution is not creating something new, not maintaining the thing which I have created. If you don't disturb it, that much enough. That is the sign of gratitude. So any life which violates and disturbs this law and disturbs this natural harmony, Bhagavan says, is a threat to the humanity. Not only it is a threat to the humanity, very life will be a miserable life. The person's life will be a miserable one. Here Bhagavan says, yajñātā anyatra karmanah. Any action which is not done as Ishvara Puja, any action which is not done for the sake of Lord, ayam lokah karma bandhanah. Those actions will be the cause of more and more bondage to that person. Therefore, action plus devotion is equal to yajñah. And that yajna serves as a means to freedom. Action minus devotion is equal to karma, and that causes more and more bondage in the form of raga dvesha, kama krodha lobha moha mada matsaryadi inner enemies. He cannot enjoy his duties, but at the same time he will be forced to do that duty. Everybody wants to have permanent leave with payment. Everybody wants permanently with salary. That is the reason any leave means school children also jump, officers also jump, everybody jumps. Why? Because nobody likes to do their duties. So at the same time he is forced to do that duty. You imagine doing something all the time which I don't like will create lot of irritation in my mind. At the same time receiving something which I don't like also will create lot of stress, anxiety and fear. Therefore, the person's life will be a miserable one, creating lot of bondages in the form of raga dveshadi. Therefore, here Arjuna, mukta sangahasan tadartham karma samachara, being unattached towards the fruits of the action, towards the phala, karma phala, do your duty for the sake of Lord. Tadartham, tadartham means yajñartham, yajñartham means ishvarartham. Samachara, samachara means samyakachara, do it with all reverence and gratitude, not haphazardly. Instead of trying to be happy when you get salary only, learn to be happy while performing that duty itself. In gratitude you are already full and complete. Before performance itself, if I have that idea of gratitude, I will perform any action, any duty which is given to me by the life situation as puja. So what is the benefit of that? In gratitude I already received that phalam. What is that phalam? That happiness or fullness or completeness. If I don't have that gratitude idea, and if I have expectation as a result of my action, what happens? all expectations ends with a disappointment. You continue to be a beggar. This is the difference between karmi, ordinary person, and the karma yogi. Karma yogi performs all the actions with gratitude. Whether the result is according to his wish or not, he is already happy because he is not bothered about that result at all. So there is no beggarliness in his mind. With regard to ordinary people, while performing itself, they are full of anxiety. Will I get this job? Will I get this job? Will I get promotion? Will I get mark? So full of anxiety. So as long as this expectation is there, that beggarliness will continue. Beggarliness will never allow a person to be happy. Even if he is a billionaire, you can make him within 1 minute an unhappy person or a beggar. How? You just ask for some donation. You ask some donation, immediately you say, oh, I am not having that much money. I am not that much rich. He is a billionaire, but still there is a mind, that mind there is an expectation that I should gain more and more and more and I should not lose anything from me. So that makes him unhappy. Now the question is, gratitude towards what? Towards everything we received. Towards everything, our body, mind, intellect, this Vedic culture, Sadhu Sangha, Vedic teaching, towards everything that gratitude. Scientists say human body is such a beautiful mechanism, nobody can even imagine that type of mechanism. Mind is still beautiful, it has enormous potentiality to embrace the whole universe as oneself. And intellect is so vast, no other species has this intellectual capacity. It can learn and learn and learn. And in this Bharata Desha, this Vedic culture, a culture which is always directed towards the freedom, which is always directed towards the higher styles of life, that culture is there. And that culture is very alive in the form of Sadhu Sangha. Anywhere you go, you get that guidance, you get that teachings. So for all these things, we should be grateful to the giver, to the Lord. So converting entire life as the worship of the Lord is the sign of gratitude. So Bhagavan continues. Saha yajna praja srishtva purovacha prajapatihi anena prasavishyadham yeshavoshtita kamaduk. In this shloka Bhagavan says that the concept of yajna is not my idea. It is not invented by me. It is there already in the Vedas. It is in the Veda Pramana. Veda Pramana itself reveals this concept of yajna, a way of life wherein gratitude, wherein sharing, contributing are prescribed for the harmony and progress of the society. So Veda is like a manual given by the producer or the creator along with the product called creation. When Bhagavan created this creation or projected this creation, along with that product he has given the manual also. Importance of the manual and relevance of that manual is very clear to the producer only. Even if you purchase a small bottle of medicine, there will be some instructions. Open this, turn in this direction, fill the cup and put it in the cool place. Like that, some instructions are given. Similarly, this Veda are manual book for the humanity to understand how to handle this creation, how to transact with this creation. And to understand this manual, Bhagavan has given distribution power also. Buddhi Shakti also he has given. Because without understanding the manual, even if manual is there, what will happen? There is no utility of that manual. Therefore Bhagavan gave, along with manual, the Buddhi Shakti also. So somebody says, without understanding the manual, cannot follow it. So one patient went to a doctor. Doctor, you prescribed this medicine, but my disease is not cured. So he quarreled with that doctor. So the doctor asked, have you followed all the instructions? Yes, doctor. What you followed? I opened that medicine bottle. There it is told, keep the bottle in a cool and dark place. So I kept it, doctor. Keep the bottle in a cool and dark place. So therefore I followed that instruction, I kept it. Then doctor told, after that some other instructions should have been there. how to take, you have to take medicine. So off understanding of the manual will create confusion. And if you use that buddhi in a proper way, then we can understand it, how to handle this creation, how to handle these natural forces, how can we harmoniously live with the natural forces. But if you use that buddhi to find out all the methods of violation, buddhi can be used this way or that way. Buddhi can be used to find out how to follow that method. Buddhi can be used how to violate also. Then naturally the humanity ends up with global warming, ecological problems, lot of problems, tsunami, earthquake and other things now which we are going through. Therefore Bhagavan says, Saha yajna praja srishtva, having created the human beings along with yajna. Along with yajna means along with the knowledge of yajna, along with the samagri of the yajna. Yajna means a worship, those days the yaga we call it. So lot of samagris are necessary. Milk is necessary, ghee is necessary, fire is necessary, firewood is necessary, and bricks are necessary. So lot of samagris are there, materials, yaga materials. All the yaga materials are available in the form of creation, and all the prescription, the rules and regulations of the yaga are given in the form of knowledge. It denotes both knowledge and the samagri. Having created this human being, Prajapati ki pura uvacha. Prajapati means the creator, the Brahmaji, Hiranyagarbha. So he told to the human beings, told where, directly he told or indirectly, told in the Vedas, through the Vedas. What he told? Anena yajnena prasavishyadvam. May you all produce more and more prosperity through this Panchamaha Yajna. May you all be prosperous through performance of this Panchamaha Yajna. Panchamaha Yajna, in the last class we saw, I hope you remember. Yesha yajnaha vaha ishta kamaduku astu. This yajna, this worship of the Lord will become the wish fulfilling cow. It will give anything whatever you want. Esha yajnaha ishta kamaduk. Ishta kamaduk means ishtan kaman dogdhi. Whatever I desire, I will get it. Whatever I desire in life, whether it is artha, whether it is kama, whether it is dharma or moksha, can be gained by the performance of panchamaha yajna. Pitru yajna, rishi yajna, bhuta yajna, dru yajna and deva yajna. All these panchamaha yajna can be the means for gaining that all the chaturvita purusharthas. So that kamadhenu is a symbolic expression, wish fulfilling cow. It comes in Ramayanam also. Vasishtha Maharishi was having that kamadhenu. Once our Vishwamitra, he was a king. So when he was visiting that forest, Kutiya of Vasishtha, so Vasishtha is guru of Vishwamitra. So Vasishtha told, you please take food and go. Then Vishwamitra told, no, I have not come alone. Along with me lot of army people are there, plenty of animals and other things. Don't worry, I will feed you within 5 minutes. Then Vishwamitra said, nothing is there. This man says, I will feed you within 5 minutes. Immediately he arranged for that lunch. So nicely all the items which are meant for human beings and elephants, whatever was necessary, are given. That Vishwamitra was very much wondered, how is this possible? Then he asked, how you could do it this? No, I have a cow in my cow shed. Whatever he asked, it gives. Then immediately Vishwamitra asked for that cow. He wanted to have that cow. So he told, please give me. It is a beautiful thing. I will fulfill all my desires by having it. Vasishtha told, this cow is not useful for a kshatriya. This cow will be useful only for a brahmana. If you are a brahmana, then only this cow will be useful for you. So don't try to get this. But Vishwamitra was very much adamant. He tried to hijack that cow, but finally he was defeated. And then afterwards he went to tapasya to become brahmana. This cow was the instigator for Vishwamitra to renounce his kingdom, and found that his powers are greater than the Vishwamitra's brahmanatva power. Therefore, he went for tapasya and finally ended with Brahma Rishi. After that, Vishishta asked, do you want now cow? Vishwamitra told, no, I don't want cow. Because I am already Purnaha. Brahma Rishi means a jnani. Brahma Rishi means a jnani, one who has that purnatvam, one who doesn't have any desire. So desireless person only can use this kamadhenu. That is the idea. So brahmanatva here means it is sign of purnatvam, no desire. Therefore, see, what is the idea of this story? Brahmana alone can use this gomata or kamadhenu. Only a jnani will be a desireless person. When you are desireless, all your desires are fulfilled. When you are desireless, all your desires are fulfilled. Therefore, a brahmana can have this kamadhenu. That is the story of kamadhenu. Then the question comes, why this advice is given only to human beings? Why not for other beings? The answer is, other beings like animals and birds and other creatures don't have free will to abuse. They don't have free will, there is no choice. Their life is governed by instincts. So they are programmed, therefore they live harmoniously. Without their knowledge, they live harmoniously. There are so many species, scientists have found out, they themselves do atmatyaga. Atmatyaga means suicide. When they found their community is overcrowded, some of the members of that community, whether it is tortoise or something, some species have that instinct in their nature, that when they found that their community has become more crowded and it will create disharmony in the creation, they themselves go and die. That much of programmed life it is. Whereas human beings are endowed with intelligence. Naturally, intelligence means it can be used properly or improperly. So there is a free will for human beings to be good or to be destructive. If he uses that intelligence and free will, it can be a blessing to the creation. Otherwise, it can create a hellish situation. If they are unselfish, then this world becomes a heaven. If the human beings are selfish, then world becomes a hell. There was a dinner party. A rich man called all his friends and wanted to give dinner. As even all the guests came, he tied a long spoon in everybody's right hand. Then he allowed the guests to go inside the dinner hall. Lot of varieties of food were kept. So long spoon is there means you cannot bend your hand and take the food and you cannot eat by yourself. So what to do? Two rooms were there. One room full of quarrels and other shoutings going on. Another room, lot of music and jokes and other things going on. So one room became hell type of room, another room became heavenly type. What happened? After some time, a group of people have found out, by this tying a long spoon in my hand, I cannot feed myself, but I can feed you. Opposite side, another person is sitting on the chair. So dining hall is there. You imagine a table, opposite person is there. So your spoon hand can reach up to the opposite person. So this person took the food from that plate and he started feeding. Similarly, another also reciprocated. But in another room, they were trying to take that food by themselves. Neither they were able to do that, nor they were happy. If you are unselfish, if you have concern for the society, society takes care of you. If you have unselfishness, then Bhagavan, the natural forces take care of you. That is the idea here. One should have concern for others. Performance of Panchamahayajna is the sign of concern, is the sign of gratitude towards the Lord and is a means for spiritual progress. Why I need spiritual progress? Why I need spiritual strength? Shastra says, without spiritual strength, anything you get in your life, that thing will be a means for your own destruction. To gain something from the world, you have to struggle. After struggling, you are getting that. But to use that, you need one more strength. What is that? Spiritual strength or moral strength. So without that spiritual strength, whoever you may be, the very power, the very wealth, the very sense pleasure you got, that will be the means for your own destruction. Ravana, we know, more powerful person. He was the most powerful person of his time. What happened? So selfish he was, so he doesn't have that spiritual strength. Therefore, he was destroyed. Without this spiritual strength, his very mind becomes the bhuta. There was a brahmana. He wanted to give his daughter in marriage. He did not have money. He went to so many people and begged. Nobody gave enough money. Somebody told, there is a pujari, mantravadi. You go to him, he is having one bhuta with him, under his control. Whatever he says, that bhuta obeys. If you could manage to get that bhuta with you, so you can manage to do this marriage ceremony with lot of pomp and show. So this brahmana went to that mantravadi and requested, please give your bhuta. Then mantravadi told, no, it is not a joke to handle that bhuta. Very difficult it is. Don't ask for this. You are now a happy person. You will be troubled by that bhuta. But that brahmana was not listening to his advice. So he was going insisting. So that mantravadi gave a mystical mantra. If you chant so many times, that bhuta will come to you. But one condition, you should give all the time work to that bhuta. You should engage that bhuta all the time in a proper way. Otherwise it will destroy you. Brahmana told, giving work one day, I have lot of work to do. I have lot of agendas in my list, lot of palaces and so many things I have. Don't worry, I will handle that bhuta. So he sat in meditation, he started chanting. After some time, that bhuta came in front of the brahmana. Then he asked, what should I do? Immediately, marriage ceremony means you need a wonderful palace type of place. So he told, cut all these forest trees and create a palace. Within few seconds, it is over. Then decorate the palace with all types of furniture. Lot of guests are going to come. Within few seconds, again, that is over. Then put a rose from the city to this palace. Within few seconds, over. Bring all the golden ornaments which are meant for my daughter's marriage. Within few seconds, over. Then bring all the provisions, over. Everything is over. Now the brahmana is not having what to tell. What work to give to that bhuta. Bhuta was threatening. Give work or I will eat you. So the brahmana ran towards that mantravadi. Please save me, please save me. Please save me, please save me. Then mantravadi told, that time itself I told, whatever you earn by your hard work, that only will be benefit for you. Otherwise, whatever you earn like hook or crook will be a means for your own destruction. I told you. Then brahmana told, this is not the time for lecturing. Tell some way to get out from this bhuta. So then that mantravadi caught hold of a dog, a curly tailed dog. So he told, give that dog to that bhuta. Then ask that bhuta to straighten that tail. Swamiji used this story for the sake of telling in his lecture. This world is like a dog's tail. You cannot straighten it. Here in Vedanta, the same story is used. A mind which is selfish, which doesn't have gratitude towards the Lord, towards the human beings, towards the creation, will be the cause of its own destruction. Therefore, Eshaha Panchamaha Yajnaha Ishtakamaduk Astu. Let this Yajna way of life be the means for your all the Purushatas, whether it is Artha and Kama or Dharma and Moksha. Bhagavan continues. Devan bhavayata nena te deva bhavayantu vaha parasparam bhavayantaha shreyas paramavapyat. Anena yajnena devan bhavayata. May you worship the devatas through this panchamaha yajna. Devan means devatas, presiding deities of natural force. Bhagavan himself manifests as the presiding deity of all the natural forces. Indra Devata is the deity for rains and thunders, and Varuna Devata is the deity for samudra, waters. Like that, one natural force has its own presiding deity. Modern science is satisfied in telling that these are all natural forces which work according to its own regulatory system. But Shastra says, behind these natural forces, there is an intelligent principle which is available in the form of devatas, we call them. So Bhagavan here says, you worship them. You worship them means, not only at the puja time, not only in the form of ritualistic worship, but in the form of living harmoniously with these natural forces, in the form of following all the panchamahayajna. And what is the benefit? Te deva bhavayantu aha. These gods will take care of your welfare. If you worship them, they will take care of your welfare. The idea is, if you don't disturb the natural harmony, universal harmony, how you don't disturb that universal harmony? Being the follower of Pancha Mahayajna, then naturally, natural forces will fulfill all the needs of humanity. One UN resolution says, we have enough thing to fulfill the need of the entire humanity, but we suffer due to greediness of the humanity. Nature has given so much of objects for our life, but due to greediness, humanity suffers. One nation suffers because of obesity. Obesity means having lot of things to eat. Go on, you pamper, 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 become bloated, then finally you suffer. Another nation suffers because of starvation, Nigeria, all the African countries. Why this disparity? Because human greediness. Therefore, Bhagavan says, Parasparam Bhavayantaha Param Sheyaha Avapshyate. May you attain Param Sheyaha. Param Sheyaha means moksha or freedom by living harmoniously, respecting each other. May you attain Sheyaha, and not only ordinary Sheyaha, Param Sheyaha also. Whatever you want in this life, whether it is a material prosperity or spiritual freedom, you attain. How you attain? Parasparam bhavayantaha. By sharing with one another, by having respectful transaction with one another, by having gratitude with one another, you have to grow together. You cannot isolate one particular community, you cannot exclude one particular community, and you cannot hope to grow. Because as even you are growing, excluding that particular community, that community will become an anti-social element. That's what every country is having now problem. Everywhere, Naxalites, anti-social elements. Why? Because that poverty has made them to have that type of wrong attitudes towards the life. So they come and destroy. How much time it will take to destroy destruction? Very few minutes. How much time it will take to develop that? Lot of years. So you cannot exclude a particular community, particular group of humanity. Therefore, parasparam bhavayantaha. Not only this paraspara should be there with regard to human beings only, it should be with regard to animals and birds and other living beings also. You go on, destroy snakes. Nobody likes snakes. So a person starts destroying snakes. What will happen? If snakes are destroyed, rats will become more. If rats become more, your protection, your agricultural protection will become less. So there is a role for every living being in the universal cycle. We study in the school days as agricultural cycle, natural cycle, like that. So here Bhagavan says, Parasparam Bhavayantaha. You should not compete with the nature. Modern science approach the nature as something to be conquered. That's why if anybody goes to the top of the mountain, he says, ha, I have conquered. What you have conquered? You have claimed that path. Not a single stone you can bring from there. And this fellow says, I have conquered. This idea of conquering should go from the mind. Idea of sharing should be there. So here Bhagavan says that harmonious living by performing all our duties towards the creation, towards our forefathers, towards the present generation, towards the devatas, natural forces, will help us to gain that highest good. Highest good is what? Highest good in the form of moksha. So therefore, competition is considered as a mental disease in our Vedic culture. Our Vedic culture never accepts the idea of competing with one another, competing with the natural forces, competing with the other living beings. It is a mental disease. It leads to jealousy, it leads to cutthroat, cheating, fear, lot of problems it creates. Whereas cooperation leads to sharing and mutual respect and mutual success. We might have heard that rabbit tortoise story. Rabbit and the tortoise were there. So they were having that competing attitude initially. So who is greater? Both the rabbit and tortoise started running. Naturally, rabbit can run very fast. So it ran. went off of the way, then he found this fellow, when he will come, Tata is how much speed it will walk. So he thought, let me have a good rest, he cannot beat me like that, he slept on. So slowly, the Tata started walking, finally, it won the race. So what is the teaching in those days? They used to give, slow and steady, win the race. But nowadays, there are other three interpretations for this story. Story doesn't end there itself. Slow, steady and win the race. So this rabbit got very much annoyed. What is this? So much of competence I have. Unnecessarily, I slept because of arrogance. Therefore, defeated by tortoise. So it wanted one more opportunity. So it went to the umpire and told, give me one more opportunity. Before declaring that he is the winner, give me one more opportunity. So fox also gave one more opportunity. This time, both started running. As usual, rabbit is very alert this time. It decided not to sleep. So it went and won the race. So what is the moral there? Fast and steady win the race. Then now Tata is become very much worried. I am defeated now, what to do? Again it went to the fox. One more chance should be given to me also. Like that it requested. Very intelligent fox. So it wanted that Tata should win that race. So it told, all right, two times you fellows went this direction. So I will change the direction, another direction. In this direction you run. Rabbit was already arrogant because of his winning nature, it was arrogant. So all right, any direction, no problem for me like that. It agreed. So both started. As usual, rabbit went very fast. Then finally it came to know that there is a river. It has to cross that river to reach that place. So it doesn't know how to cross that river. So our Tata came slowly and found that there is a river. Then nicely it gave a glance. What you are running capacity, what will happen? So just it entered the river and crossed the river and won the race. Now this time Tata is on the race. What is the lesson? Core competency wins the race. So now quarrel is not ended. That fox wanted to make them friends instead of making them competitors. It wants them to be a friend. So it told, see, both can be winners, provided if you agree to cooperate with each other. The same direction, again one more time you go, then you find that both can cross the river, both can cross the distance. How? While walking on the road, rabbit should carry the tortoise on its back. So rabbit carried the tortoise on its back, fast it ran and went near the river. Now it is the turn of the tortoise. Tortoise carried the rabbit on its back. It swam nicely, went to reach the destination. Therefore, teamwork, mutual cooperation, mutual respect, mutual sharing actually wins the race. Win-win situation, they call it in modern psychology. This is told 5000 years before in our Gita. Bhagavan says, parasparam bhavayantaha, have mutual respect, don't compete with each other, share with each other so that both can grow. You fulfill your duty towards others, society will fulfill your needs. Therefore only Vedic society is a society of duties. All the time in our Veda, satyam vada, dharmam chara, like that only duties are mentioned. In our Vedas, there is no mention of privileges. To a child, the Veda says, Matrudevo bhava, Pitrudevo bhava. Mother is your God, father is your God. Therefore, respect them, worship them, obey their all the commandments. But it never says, to father or mother, you go and demand your privileges, demand respect, it never says. For the elders, it says, it is your duty to take care of the children, but you cannot ask anything from the children. You see, for elders also, only duties are given. For the children also, duties are prescribed. If children perform their duty, it becomes the fulfillment of the rights of the or privileges of the parent. If parents perform their duty towards the children, child gets all the things. Therefore, it is a duty orientation society. Nowadays what happens, parents don't fulfill needs of the children. So, but they demand, hey, I am your father, you should not talk like this. He himself claims that, I am your father. He says, what is that? Father means what? So by demanding also, you don't get your rights. Shastra says, never demand your rights. Perform your duties, your rights will come automatically. There is a question, if privilege doesn't come, even though I perform all my duties, if I don't get back my rights, what should I do? Shastra says, accept it, it is your prarabdha, I told. It is your karma phala prarabdha, accept it. Accept it and accept it and use it for the sake of gaining vairagya. In spite of your goodness, if you don't get that recognition, if you don't get your privileges, then it is your karma phala. Don't blame that person from whom you are expecting all these privileges. So, in a duty-based society, Shastra always insisted, if you perform your duty, you cannot be arrogant also. It should be performed with humility. If you perform with humility, when it, your rights come to you, then you will be a gentle person. If it doesn't come also, you will be a gentle person. In totality, the entire society will be a happy society. Parasparam bhavayantaha. What he told is, not only you can be happy when you get your privileges, you can be happy when you do your duty itself. The very performance can be the source of your happiness. Happiness is nothing but certain attitude. What I want to get, if I get, I am happy. Shastra says, why you expect, why you want to get the result and want to be happy? Try to do your duties. With that performance itself, you be try to be a happy person. Therefore, in Vedic society, there is no revolution. In other cultures, we find a lot of revolution, fighting, quarrels. So Vedic society is a calm and gentle society. No revolution. Even though the person doesn't get his due, he doesn't go for quarrels. He accepts that, okay, it is my prarabdha. I perform my duty as a father. I perform my duty towards my children. If the children doesn't reciprocate, it is their problem, not my problem. So I have accepted it. Whereas in modern society, it is a right-based society. Everybody wants, we want. Nobody shouts, we will do this work. Anybody shouts? Any strike, there will be a shouting. We want 5% DA increase, we want a salary increase, we want this benefit, we want that benefit. Anybody shouts, we will do 12-hour work hereafter, we will do 12-hour work hereafter. Anybody shouts? So it is a right-based society. Therefore, no one is interested in performing their duties. Therefore, nobody gets their dues, their privileges. Nobody receives their privileges. Therefore, always it is a society with lot of dissatisfaction, lot of quarrels, lot of cheating. Therefore, Vedic vision is, insist on duties, all will receive their privileges. Insist on privileges, no one will receive their privileges. Insist on duties, all will receive their due. If you insist on privileges, nobody will perform their duty, therefore nobody will get their privileges. Insist on tyaga, insist on unselfishness, world will be the heaven. Insist on bhoga, insist on self-assertion, the world will be converted as hell. Will be nine, it is already converted as hell. Therefore, a society which wants all the time to take from the external world, to grab, to consume, finally what will happen? It is consumed by the society. So that's why Veda says, for food, two types of definition. That which is eaten is called food. That which is the eater also is called food. Adhyate asticha bhutani. That which is eaten by the bhutas, by the living beings, is called food. That which is the eater of living beings also is called food. Therefore, Veda never insists on privileges, never insists on your rights. Your rights will come automatically when everybody performs their own duties. Because somebody's duties is my privilege. Father's duty towards the son is privilege of the son. Son's duty towards the father is privilege of the father. So when everybody is insisted to perform their duties, entire society receives its own privileges, its own rights. Therefore, parasparam bhavayantaha param shreyaha avapsyate. May you live together, sharing with concern for each other, may you get all the benefits of the creation. Bhagavan continues,
Ishtan bhogan shiro deva dasyante yajna bhavita saizatana pradayebhyo yobhunte tena evataha.
Bhagavan condemns strongly, he condemns a selfish person. There may be a nastika mind which may not accept the presence of the Lord, like a modern scientist. It may not accept the presence of the Lord, so it may ask the question, why should I worship devatas? For that question, here Bhagavan gives answer. Yajna bhavitaha devaha ishtan bhogan dasyante vaha. When you worship the natural forces, worship the natural forces means not with arati. When you live harmoniously with the world, with the natural forces, when you do your duties, when you approach the natural forces with proper attitude and respect, then they will provide all your needs. If you start grabbing them, if you start misusing these natural laws, then you will be under the destruction. So here they, devas are the manifestation of the one and the same law, who happen to be the intelligent cause and the material cause of this creation. By worshipping, by having that attitude of gratitude, if you propitiate the devatas, they will give yajna bhavitaha devaha ishtan bhogan dasyante. They will give whatever we want. Because as we saw, we have not created this universe. We have not created the laws of this universe. Before our arrival itself, all these are available. Human being is given buddhi shakti to understand that I have not created this universe, I have not created this universal law. And to understand that, that buddhi is given, and to recognize that given, it is given by a giver. The buddhi is given to understand this natural law, to understand the giver, to live in harmoniously with the nature. This buddhi shakti is given. If this buddhi shakti is not used properly, then destruction is the result. Therefore Bhagavan says, whenever you use this creation, whenever you use this creation, inform the creator that you are using what he has given. Whenever you want to use somebody's pen or somebody's object, without informing, if you take it, what you will be called? You will be called a thief. So the attitude of gratitude is missing means you will be converted as a thief. Attitude of gratitude means what? By offering. Offering means what? Informing. Generally, we offer the food to the Lord. If Lord starts taking everything, what will happen? So many things we offer. If one by one Lord starts taking, we won't offer it. Just we are informing, O Lord, it is given by you. I am taking with your permission. I am grateful for your gift. By being grateful, whether Lord gets anything, oh, this fellow is very grateful, so I will become happy. Another fellow is not grateful, so I will become angry. Thus the Lord is partial. Bhagavan doesn't get anything from our attitude of gratitude. The person who has this gratitude will get benefit, not the Lord. Lord is already a Purna Vastu. He doesn't want anything from the humanity. Much later our ordinary offerings. But still, Shastra says, Bhagavan says, you offer it to me. Not that I am going to get something because of that offering, but you will get benefit out of that attitude of thanksgiving. You will gain purity of mind. You will convert every action of your life as a puja. So there is no need for Lord to expect it, that we should be grateful to him. Nothing is going to add to his purnatva. He is already a purna vastu. He doesn't depend upon our gratitude. He says, you need not give me back whatever I have given. You need not give me back whatever I have given to you. You cannot give me back also. Can you give me back your life? Can you give me back your body and mind? You cannot give me back. But at least have an attitude that I am offering this to the Lord. Naivedya means offering, it is translated. It is not offering, it is an information. You are informing to the Lord that, oh Lord, it is your gift. So with your knowledge, with acknowledging your gift, I am using this. Otherwise, if the person doesn't have that attitude, what he will be called? Tena eva saha. Bhagavan says, he will be called as a thief. Without acknowledging, without informing anything to the giver, if he use anything, he will be called a thief. Therefore, saihi devaihi dattan bhogan yesyaha apradaya yaha bhunte. Without informing, without contributing to the world, if a person wants to enjoy the entire resource of the world for himself, he will be called a stenaha. He will be called a thief. Thief in the form of what you call krutagnaha. Krutagne nasti nishkrutihi. For all papas there are prayashchitta, but for ungratefulness there is no prayashchitta at all. Therefore, never enjoy anything without contributing to the society. He will be called as a thief. Swamiji says, a person who has come up in life taking the tax money of the poor people and at the same time doesn't contribute to the poor people, I call him as a traitor, he says. Same word he says. Here Bhagavan calls that person selfish person who doesn't contribute to the society at the same time, wants to have enjoyment for his sake only, is called a thief here. Swamiji says, he's a traitor. So in whatever way we are branded, we try to avoid this branding. In our life, as far as our life is concerned, our mind should not tell I am a traitor or a thief. So always I contribute. What I contribute there should be more than what I take from the society. Therefore, at least have a wish. Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha. Shastra says, at least pray. Before having anything, pray. Prayer can be out of gratitude, out of well wish. Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha. So many people don't have food. One time fire meal, one fire meal of food. Oh Bhagwan, you have given me. That type of attitude will help a person to cultivate humility and it will help him in for spiritual growth. Ultimately, the entire purpose of karma yoga and devotion is to make that person to go nearer to the Lord to gain that freedom. More details you will see in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmani Pranagaklesha Nashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha.